Our study this morning is out of Proverbs 28:22 to 29:3, where these are Proverbs of Solomon that were collected by Hezekiah's scribes. 250 years after Solomon, Hezekiah's scribes copied more of Solomon's Proverbs from separate works, and they comprise Proverbs 25:1 to 29:27. And review some of those collected Proverbs of Solomon, Proverbs 28:22 to 29:3, as follows. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the ministry of His Word. Lord, we thank You for Your tremendous goodness, Your grace, Your unmerited favor to us and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the forgiveness that we enjoy in Jesus Christ by faith. Father, as we are gathered here this morning, we recognize that it takes the Spirit of God to clarify the meaning of the truth through the speaker, as well as to open up the heart, the mind, the hearer, of the hearer. And we ask, Father, for the ministry of the Spirit of God in both regards this morning, that we might understand the Word of God and then have the capacity to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, what I'm going to do is read the King James Version here of the verses that are involved, Proverbs 28:22 to 29:3, and then we'll go back and look at them as we've translated them directly from the Hebrew text. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. He that being often reproved and hardens his heart or hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in an authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoices his father, but he that keeps company with harlots spends his substance, and I take it that it would be his father's substance. Okay, let's look at what this says from the Hebrew text. Some of these obviously have to be translated, retranslated. Proverbs 28:22 teaches that a nobleman, it's the Hebrew word ish for nobleman, with an evil eye. Evil eye in this particular context means a man who is stingy. It's a figure of speech. So a nobleman who is stingy hurries up to gain wealth, or he seeks to gain wealth in a quick manner. Now what happens when you seek to gain wealth in a quick manner? You often cut corners. When you cut corners, you do that which is wrong, and that has repercussions. But he does not realize, this rich man who's cutting corners to get rich, he does not realize or know that poverty will come to him. So to avoid poverty, we must be generous and stick to time-honored ways of earning our income. Boy, we can't emphasize this enough. We all know of stories of people who have tried to get rich quick and who have cut corners, and it's caught up with them. And when it catches up with them, and the law closes in, boom. It really, really is difficult. So we're much better off doing time-honored ways, hard work, working at a regular job, and then being generous so that we can take care of people. It's very important to be generous because that preserves relationships. And believe it or not, relationships, the quality of relationships has a lot to do with the environment in which we can earn and keep money and become wealthy. If we're constantly taking advantage of people around us in the financial realm, it cuts off rapport. And if it cuts off rapport, then when bad times come to us and we need help, there's no one there to help us out. So we need to be generous. We also need to stay with time-honored ways of making an income. Proverbs 28:23 claims that he who rebukes a common man, this is anybody, will afterward find more favor than he who makes smooth, or that would be who flatters with the tongue. You're much better off going ahead in a situation and being kind, but nevertheless being honest and sharing a rebuke rather than giving false information in a flattering kind of a way with an individual. Because when the flattery is found out to be that which is false, then you lose the respect of people around you. The best thing to do is to be honest and to be forthright. Proverbs 28:24 asserts that he who robs his father or his mother and says it is not transgression, he, it's an emphatic pronoun, he is partner or a companion to the nobleman who causes ruin. One of the things we should never do is to take financial advantage of our father or of our mother. And the reason they say father or mother, because the father, while both people are living, the father controls the finances. But when the father dies, the mother becomes a widow. And often there were people who would seek to take advantage of a widow, even a widowed mother, because they were somewhat helpless in that particular society. But we have to keep in mind that God looks out for the widow and the orphan and the alien, according to the scriptures. So we must be very careful not to rob or take what belongs to our parents. Proverbs 28:25 teaches the broad, in this case it would be the greedy, in life principle. And the word life principle is the word nephesh. It refers to, remember Genesis 2:7, where God created man a nephesh with physical and mental, spiritual and emotional life. So we can see the broad soul stirs up strife, or the person who is greedy stirs up strife. But he who totally relies upon Yahweh will be made fat. Now, there's a normal word for trust has to do with emet, but batach actually literally means to fling oneself headlong upon. When you are reliant on something entirely, you're able to fling your body entirely flat down on that. And that's what batach means. So there's an implication here that the cure for greed is utter dependence upon the Lord. If we are utterly dependent upon the Lord, we can afford not to be greedy and take advantage of other people financially and so forth. When there is a lack of complete reliance upon the Lord, there's a tremendous temptation to hoard wealth or to be greedy for wealth, because that's our God. And I think it's Matthew's gospel. Several of the gospels refer to this. You can't serve God and money. You know, they're two incompatible deities. And if we're serving money, we're going to become greedy and we're not going to serve God. If we are serving the Lord and we're totally dependent upon Him, we can actually afford not to be greedy, because our sustenance, our protection comes from the Lord. So we need to keep in mind the importance here of really trusting God. Greed hurts relationships, and that hurts our income, but total trust in God cures greed, and also that also helps relationships and income. Proverbs 28:26 claims that he who totally relies, this is batach again, he who totally relies upon his own inner man, his heart, we would say upon his own thinking, he, it's an emphatic pronoun, is a dull, closed-minded man. But he who walks in wisdom, he, emphatic pronoun, again, the pronoun is written separate from the verb, he is delivered. So we need to seek wisdom that is outside of ourselves if we would seek to be delivered from failure. It is very, very shrewd to keep in mind that none of us has a corner on all the knowledge that exists. We just don't. None of us do. We all have blind spots. Life is far too complex and so forth. Sin is far too invasive. So the best thing to do is always keep ourselves teachable and to listen and to recognize constantly that we need more wisdom, more wisdom, more wisdom, and then we will be safe. What wisdom will do, it will teach us to correct ourselves. It'll clean up our own mistakes that we make, and we often make mistakes on an ongoing basis that we're not even aware of. So wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Never get to the point where we think we have it all or that we know it all. Proverbs 28, verse 27 asserts that he who gives to the poor will not lack anything, but he who hides his eyes from them, that would mean he closes his eyes to their need, receives many curses. So generosity with finances avoids much relationship failure, where refusing to help those we can help due to greed produces terrible relationships. This is something when people become very wealthy, become millionaires, multimillionaires, they often learn very quickly that they are expected by people around them to share some of that or to use that to meet the needs of people around them. Because if they don't and they hoard it, when they do have the capacity and the ability to donate, it actually creates problems in relationships. So that's something we need to be careful of. We need to be generous. Now, obviously, the balance to this is we have to take care of our family needs. Everybody knows that. But where we can, generosity is very, very important. Proverbs 28:28 teaches that when the wicked rise to power, the Hebrew word is kum, when they come to power, the common man, Adam, hides himself. But when they perish, the righteous become many or great. Evil leadership intimidates people who are lowly, where good leadership causes them to flourish, all to respective dramatically contrasting effects on the entire institution that is involved. Now, this institution could be a country, it could be a church, it could be a business, it could be a family, you name it. Wherever the institution is, where you have an overseer and people who are subordinates, it's extremely important for the leader or the overseer to be righteous, because when he's righteous, he's considerate of people who are under him. And he recognizes that the reason for his leadership is to help subordinates. That's the only reason, why the bona fide reason for leadership. It's just, it puts a person into a position where he has a greater capacity to help. If his whole focus is, now I'm in a leadership position, this is a greater capacity for me to feed my own agenda, all he does is become bad, and he's bad for people under him. So leadership is there for the sake of subordinates, and that's something a leader has to recognize. Otherwise, he's just going to do harm to the entire institution. Proverbs 29:1 claims that a nobleman, again, this is the word ish, of many reproofs, or a nobleman who receives many reproofs or who deserves many reproofs, it's difficult to tell exactly what that means. But anyway, a nobleman of many reproofs who stiffens his neck. And throughout Scripture, when you have a stiffen the neck, this means the person becomes hard-headed. They're not open to correction. But if he stiffens his neck, he will suddenly be broken to pieces. Shabar means to be shattered to pieces. And there will be no healing or cure. Marpe, from which they get the word to heal, to cure, and so forth. So it's very important. This is a nobleman. This is a person in oversight. It's very important for a nobleman to be open to being corrected or to be open to advice and to weigh it. Now, you can't accept every advice that you get because some advice is just not right. It's not good. But you have to know why you're rejecting that advice. But the point is you have to be teachable as a leader. If you're not teachable as a leader, what's going to happen is you will suddenly be broken to pieces. And there will be no healing, there's no cure. And the reason for that is when a leader gets the discipline that is coming his way, most people feel that he deserves it because he should know better, he's a leader. So he gets very little sympathy at that point. So if we are in leadership, we have to be very, very careful to be open, to be teachable. That's for our own preservation. Proverbs 29:2 asserts that when the righteous become many or great, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people sigh in grief or they groan. Once again, upright leadership is a blessing to those who are lowly. Evil leadership causes those people to suffer. This proverb goes together with Proverbs 28:28. In one situation, people are afraid and they hide themselves. The second situation, the people suffer with bad leadership. Extremely important to make sure that we are righteous and we are watching ourselves and our lives. I was just talking with a believer this morning before the service. They were talking about a pastor. He's gotten ordained, but he doesn't really know hardly anything about the Bible. And now he's in a situation that people around him have come under a crisis. And the question is if he can actually help them out of it, because they're all looking to him because he's an ordained minister, but he doesn't know that much. And sadly, this is a problem all the way around. So it's extremely important for those in oversight to make sure that they are righteous with the Lord, that they prepare themselves, that they recognize that they have a tremendous responsibility to work hard, to do well at that job. Proverbs 29:3 teaches that a nobleman, again, listen to leader, who loves wisdom rejoices his father, but he associates with harlots. This is the word zana. Most often it's used as a temple prostitute, but we would apply it in general to a harlot. Destroys his father's wealth. See, when a man is associating with a harlot, he's going through lots and lots of money because these ladies are harlots for hire and so forth. And when he goes through lots and lots of money, it's a shame to his father and it's a pain for his father. But if a man is a nobleman and he loves wisdom, the implication is that if he loves wisdom, he's going to be very upright, he'll be very moral. So he's going to be able to keep his money and keep his father's money and so forth. So immorality is extremely expensive. That's true. If you talk to divorce lawyers, they will tell you that. In fact, divorce lawyers will tell you that nobody's a winner. The only one who's a winner is the lawyer, because he gets paid. But both parties lose. And many times immorality is wrapped up in this. A lot of times money problems, disagreements over money, handling of money and so forth is a big, big issue in divorce and so forth. But immorality is very, very expensive. And on top of that, there are diseases that come along with this that are devastating. It's just not a healthy situation all the way around. So a nobleman who loves wisdom also end up being morally upright. Extremely important to keep all of that in mind. So may we align with God's fixed moral order in each of these realms for blessing. Now, just before I open this up for question time, you'll notice that we had an unusually high number of proverbs in this section that deal with the issue of greed, that deal with the issue of the need to be generous, especially to the impoverished. And I wonder if there's a reason for that. The Lord wants us to keep in mind that we, Abel told the Lord, "Am I my brother's keeper?" It's a big challenge that he gave up. Of course, he wasn't his brother's keeper as far as treating his brother as an animal, and he's keeping him an animal. But in a very real sense, we all are our brother's keeper. If there are people around us who have needs that we can't address before God, we're actually held accountable to do it. That's the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is anybody that you come across that you can help, that you have the resources to help. You're responsible before the Lord to help. So we need to keep this in mind, whether it's family members, whether it's people in the church family, whether it's people in our community. And of course, there are huge needs out there. I mean, you could go through all the resources that you have and not even begin to make a dent. But within reason, God does want us to be generous and to use the resources that we have to look out for our fellow man. So I just thought that's interesting. We have, and we're just going through Proverbs one after the other, but there seems to be a very high percentage in this group that deal with the need for generosity versus greed. And I thought, well, let's just highlight that. For some reason, the Lord wants us to have that. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback on one of these subjects or any of these subjects. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up during the week,